This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Just starting to believe a little bit. Well, Hoylett's got the better of Buxton. Puts it into an area. Keogh Zamora! Unbelievable! From the very brink of elimination, Bobby Zamora has surely scored another playoff winner.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. I'm Ben Platt and we are now on episode 7. Moving into October, we've got lots to go through today. We are joined by, we've got Alex back on. Alex, how are you?
Good, nice to be back.
A few weeks off. You've been doing much, mate?
I had a little trip to Devon with the family and obviously been keeping up with all the football and stuff, but I'm just glad the international break's over, to be fair, so we can get back on with the league. But yeah, nice to be back on with you boys.
We've got Ollie, third appearance, mate. You get a hat-trick ball. We'll send it in the post. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good.
Have you got over your suspension?
Don't even go there.
Oh, mate. Nice. Sore subject.
Honestly, I don't know why they feel the need. It was EFL in the end that did it. So,
was it because you... Was it a Dykes video you said?
Yeah. Dykes headed... assist.
You'd think they'd give you some sort of warning before suspending your account, because you had quite a few followers as well then.
It's frustrating. 25, 30 or 4K, so that was helpful.
And we've got the usual one, Doug. You all right, mate?
I'm good, mate. You all right?
Yes. All good, thank you. All good. Okay, so it feels like a while ago, but we obviously haven't spoke about the Preston game. But we're going to have to rack our brains because it's been a couple of weeks now. But good win. What's anyone's views? Alex, did you manage to watch the game?
Honestly, this was the first game of the season that I haven't seen, either been at the ground or watched it on telly. But I was on holiday with a family, but I was eagerly by the old red button on BBC and watching the scores come in. And I have to say, I was buzzing when I saw what the result was or when the goals were coming in, and then certainly when I got the highlights up. And yeah, that Dykes header for me is literally insane. It's one of the best assists I think I've ever seen, ever.
You know what? It was good that the ref let it go as well, because on another day, the ref blows up. It wasn't a foul by any means, but you know when everyone's putting their hands up and it's sort of, you know, handbags. It's quite lucky that he sort of let that one go.
I was showing it to the people that I was with, and obviously it was the header that I was excited about, but then you don't realise that it's him that then gets back up to then play the ball against the chair. So to have that that presence and awareness to get up and want to be back in the play, he's been impressive, and he's been really good.
It kind of epitomises our season, that game, really, doesn't it? Like, we just concede goals, like, we go behind, we just, you know, it's just mistakes, but we just end up out of nowhere grinding out a result and getting ourselves over the line. I don't know what you boys think.
Yeah, again, I said it on another pod recently, didn't I? It's like when we seem to score early, it almost writes the write a story for the rest of the game. Like, you know that if we score early on, then we're going to concede and then probably concede another. It was just, it's just a classic QPR win this season. Like, the thing is, we dominated them in terms of statistics, but over, when it comes to the defensive, we just keep getting caught out with this pass and play. And I think that's, again, the problem. It's the way we were doing it, but I thought we were better than we were in terms of the scoreline. I think we were better than we looked, essentially. No, we just concede way too many goals, and that's the big problem.
It's really difficult.
It's a problem, isn't it?
Well, because we scored the first goal, we were dominating, and then it was almost just a ball over the top again, catches Jimmy Dunn out, and he's straight through and slots it past Senny. Like, it's not schoolboy defending. It just seems that teams see we've got no real pace in our back three, and they just knock a ball over the top and we get caught out every single time. Like, I think about going back to the Reading game, first goal we conceded there, again, was just a pretty straight ball over the top. I just don't know how what we can do to, like, get around it. Do we encourage the defenders then to drop back 5 yards? But then that creates more space in the middle of the park. It's so difficult, isn't it? Trying to get tactics to work for the players we have.
Did anyone else notice, you know, the first goal? Jimmy Dunn sort of didn't try and clear it. I don't know if anyone else noticed it, but I thought that he could have at least attempted. It seemed to trickle in and he kind of gave up. Like, it was a bit weird. I just thought, why didn't he try and at least stop it from going in, even if he couldn't? He just sort of stopped. I don't know if anyone else noticed that.
I know what you mean, yeah. I think it would look better if he'd at least gone and tried to do it. I think it looked bad that he kind of just stopped and said, oh, that's in. I think if he had tried to at least run for it, it might have looked a little bit better.
So touching on Dykes then, I mean, what, he's a man in form, isn't he, at the moment?
Very much so.
Yeah, and he came back and he wasn't injured this time from international break, which I think was, don't get me wrong, the goals for Scotland, great, score your goals, get your confidence up, but come back nice and healthy. So I think it's a win-win for us, to be fair, because he's in form.
We hope he's back without injury, but yeah, it looks like he's going to be okay. But it's always, you know, if he's not playing for Scotland, he would have been playing for us anyway, wouldn't he, from Saturday and Tuesday? So and you always want a striker in form, don't you? Always.
I feel a bit bad because I remember coming on before the Preston game and I said to him, I was like, well, not to him. Obviously, I wouldn't say it to him. I remember saying that I feel like he's got everything, but he just doesn't get stuck in enough. And then he goes and pulls off an assist like that. I'm like, eat my words. I feel at first, this whole international, but I mean, I hate it. It does me nothing that we have to do all these breaks. But I feel like him playing for Scotland has given him that bit more, like, because, you know, Scotland aren't, no disrespect for the Scottish team, they're not a great team, are they? And they know they have to dig deep. And Dykes probably has learned massively from playing with Scotland that he has to get himself stuck in more. Like, that goal he scored last week was quality. So I think he's starting to get stuck in now and really uses strengths, because I feel like a lot of the time, for a big lad like he is, he hasn't used it to his advantages. But now I feel like he's picked it up quite a bit, which is nice to see. And I think that's down to playing for Scotland as well.
It's just being in the box and knowing where to be in the box. I don't know if he's learned it, obviously, from Austin, but I always thought that was what went down. Working hard and winning, you know, being... He does that all right. It's just when it... Just being in the right place in the box. But those two goals three goals in the last sort of week, couple of weeks, you know, the one for QPR at Preston and the two for Scotland have just been poacher's goals, kind of, haven't they? Just being there, just getting a little touch on it, just, you know, do you know what I mean? So I think that's what he needs to do more, and he has.
I think he's definitely learned from Charlie, because if you look at the goals he scored before Austin came in, like, they weren't the kind of poacher goals that he's getting now. You can see from his movement, it's got a lot better. He's putting himself in those positions where he's expecting now a ball to get to him. Whereas before, you kind of thought he's in the box, but he's made completely and utterly the wrong run. Whereas now he seems to be making the right runs and he's getting his reward. He's getting that little bit of luck of, like, the second goal for the one against the Faroe Islands. I mean, he's claiming it, but it wasn't really his goal, was it? We'll give him it. But he was in the right area. And that's what I think he's learning from Charlie, because Charlie has that in his game massively.
think it was Charlie, wasn't he, on with us last season, and he basically said that was the simple advice that I gave, Dyke. It was, I think he was like literally running for everything before he spoke to him. And Dyke said, look, Austin said, look, just stay between the goalpost and poach him in. And he's doing it, and he's doing it very, very well. And I think the thing that I really like is you look at that Scotland team, you look who he plays sometimes up with, and it's like Che Adams. And I think Che Adams in the Premier League, I mean, he was like a 15, 20 million pound player that Southampton took. So you've got to think, if Dykes is outscoring him, that we could, obviously, hopefully we'll keep him and we'll go to the Premier League and all that good stuff. But I'd like to think we've taken a player there for about £2-2.5 million from Scotland, and we've been able to really increase his value in a short space of time.
What is he worth,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, it's a great point. And he'd be worth, well, he'd certainly be worth more, wouldn't he? Which is what it's all about.
You think any striker that's scoring well, international for goals,
isn't it? It's buying these players and...
Well, so any striker who's scoring international goals, his stock's going to go up, isn't it? It's always going to, like, it's all well and good, like, scoring in the Championship. He's making that step up to, I know it's not necessarily big European teams, but he is scoring in a European league. And, like, so... Like, it's going to add millions to him, I reckon, easily. If we were to accept a bit of, like, anything less than 12 million now, would you still be? I think he's easily worth 12 million in today's market.
It reminds me
of... Really? You think 12 million?
I think in today's market, he's an international number nine. He's still mid-20s. Like, I know he's a bit raw, but I think we've got to start putting this kind of price tag on our players. Like, we've undersold for years. And I think we've now got to start being firm and saying, well, he's Scotland's number nine as well. We want 12 million. If you want him, that's what you've got to pay.
Kind of reminds me of the situation in the Euros the years ago with Robson Kanu. Nobody had even wanted him for years. And he goes to the Euros and scores a couple of decent goals. And all of a sudden, he's getting Premier League moves.
Yeah.
You know, it's a platform, like international football, whether you're playing with Scotland or Argentina, is a platform to show what you can do. And he's doing that on a platform that everyone's seeing. And that's the main thing, because at QPR, you know, you're not going to have, you know, Chelsea fans, Arsenal fans all seeing about Lynn Dykes at QPR. But when he's at Scotland, everyone's seeing him. And that boosts his value up massively. But yeah, I think it's rather than for us to have a value for him, I think we make that value. He's what it's worth to us rather than what he's worth to other people, because he is our... He is one of our players at the moment that we need to hold on to, because he's looking good, getting better.
We I think there's a couple of things that we miss, and that is a goal scorer and just defensively just shutting up shop a little bit. And I think if we can nail those two, we're going to be right up there, aren't we, this season? So someone like Dykes coming in and scoring 15, 20 goals this season with Austin and Gray just chipping in. I think that's what we miss.
For me, I mean, the teams that win championships, and I hope we go as far, well, I hope we get playoffs at least. I don't think we'd win it. I think probably there are slightly better teams than us in the league this year, but I think that's down to the fact that a lot of those teams will shut up shop and they will have a number of 1-0 games or 2-0 games, where I don't think we will. But on the flip side, I quite like that, because we're a bit like Vindaloo at the minute. The fact that we're going to score one more than you. So it makes it exciting. It's entertaining stuff. I love it. Let them score a couple of goals, but we'll score three. So it's not a title-winning formula, but it's pretty exciting.
It's playoffs, though. You can get into the playoffs with that kind of...
Oh, massive.
That kind of, you know, they're fairly open, and you get on. It's just getting on a run. That's it, isn't it? A winning run, where you can afford to lose a couple of games. But if you go on that 6 or 7 game run, where you're going to be right up there, really, aren't you? And that's just what we need to ensure we're doing more of.
I don't know if you saw, I retweeted a championship-specific podcast the other day, not going to name any names, but they were saying in their episode that they think we haven't performed as well as we could, which is what I've been kind of saying all season. Like, we're in almost like second, third gear. We've still got, I think, 2-3 gears left we can go.
Yeah.
I think if other people are, like, from outside the club are seeing that in our performances, I think it shows that we should definitely be aiming for playoffs. If something clicks, our defence just gets that solidness back we had at the back end of last year, and Dykes or Austin just start firing in goals every game, we've really got the potential there to have a really strong season and push up and high and finish as high in the playoffs as we can.
I also think we, there's a couple of other things, like Senny Dieng's just, he's doing okay, but he's not flying, is he? He's not at the levels he was last season. We've got him to sort of step up a little bit. That left side with missing Wallace and McCallum, that needs, you know, Stefan needs to get fit. If he's not even remotely fit either, and we're still sixth in the league. Our best player's not even 75% fit, I don't think. So, and I still think Willock's got another gear to go up as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, one other player that we need to talk about is obviously another player who's got an international goal, and that's obviously Ilias Chair. I mean, he's flying at the moment. We talk about players that we need to be on form. He's up there, isn't he?
Definitely. He's becoming like genuinely better and better every game. People questioned him last season. I stood by him. I said, you know, oh God, I just rate him so highly. And to see him doing that against Morocco as well, for Morocco, sorry, as well, it's great. And I feel like the only thing that really worries me is that, is it in February or late January that the Africa Cup of Nations is on and we're going to lose Senny and Ilias for up to a month, if I'm...
Yeah, it depends on obviously how well they do. And you think, obviously, Senny's with Senegal, so, I mean, they're probably one of the pre-tournament favourites, you would have thought. They'll be up. Yeah. They should be getting to the latter stages. I don't know what Morocco's kind of reputation is at the minute, whether they should be getting that far or not. But yeah. I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because we could almost miss Chair for a couple of games and it wouldn't affect us massively. But do you think Archer's good enough to be number one keeper for a month? That's my worry. He's done well in the cup, don't get me wrong, but is what people were saying when we signed him, like about Abe's being quite inconsistent, he's got a mistake in him. It just makes you worry, doesn't it?
We were linked with another kind of old keeper, weren't we? I can't remember which one it was. We were linked with a couple of 35 plus year old Premier League past keepers, and I feel that's not worth. I can't remember who it was.
Was it Andy Lonigan?
I rate that's worth a go, to be honest. In January, it's worth a go bringing in someone like him because, you know, if Archer doesn't perform well, we've always got the backup of someone that knows what he's doing. So,
Where's Barnes? Is Barnes in or is he out on loan?
So he is our fourth choice goalie at the moment, isn't he? Because Joe Walsh is actually, I feel like he's our number two, actually, because he's been on the bench quite a lot, hasn't he? I think Archer's been injured, but still think Warburton fancies him, but you wouldn't want to put him in for a January whole month. Like he's sort of a stopgap, come on for the last half an hour, maybe one game, but it's something that Warburton, I've got in here actually to chat about January, and I know it's close, but it isn't really in footballing terms, is it? Because we've still got like ages away in footballing terms. Yeah. So, but still, like you've mentioned, we've got big players going out to the African Cup of Nations. We've got decisions to make on a couple of players, and when you've got loans, you've always got that worry that they can be recalled or you can recall. Or so, it's interesting to see what Warburton does.
Big time.
January looks a big month as well. I'm just having a quick look. I mean, we got Birmingham away on New Year's Day, but then we're and away to Coventry, but home to Reading. But I mean, you look at those: Birmingham, Coventry, Reading, Millwall early February, Middlesbrough early February, Barnsley, Hull. So yeah, there are a big chunk of games that you look at and go, we could get some points out of this. So yeah, it is a bit of a critical time for us at that point.
Do we bring someone in for Chair, like short term, but how short term can you get someone in for? Because he'll be back. And then you're thinking, well, how big a player, how much do you want to spend?
It's very difficult, isn't it? Like we had a shocking December last year, didn't we? I don't think did we get any points? One? Mm-hmm. We lost every game in December.
Didn't we draw with Norwich and we should have beat them? I think that's the only game. Remember Bright missed that open goal right at the end.
Yeah.
So
we can have a good run from now up until Christmas, because our fixtures up until Christmas are like fairly favourable. Like we've got a bit of like an easier running. We've obviously after Fulham.
There's no such thing as that, mate, with QPR.
Yeah, but statistically, Like, we've played, once we played Fulham, we've played the three supposed big three teams in the league already, haven't we? And that's they've all been away from home.
And we look better than all of them in the games that we played.
Yeah, and we've been unlucky in those games. So I think there's no teams we're coming up against in the next couple of weeks, couple of months that we should be fearing. So we could get quite a lot of points on the board. So by January, if we do have a little blip in January, maybe it might not be as crucial to our playoff push as we first thought.
Yeah, I think. I agree.
I think you said earlier. I've not been impressed with any side really. I think Barnsley in the first half, but I thought that was more us than them. Yeah. We just weren't at the races that well first half. But other than that, I look back and think, what teams massively impressed me this season? Not, I don't know anyone
Coventry
else.
At best.
Yeah, I was going to say Coventry. Yeah.
But still managed to beat them. I mean, they're beatable. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. Coventry were a good side, but other than that,
West Brom were just fitter and hadn't played a game midweek when we had, so they just wore us down. I think it was just a tricky game. In that sense, I think if we hadn't had the Everton game, we would have been a lot fresher and it could have been a different game. Because once we hit 70-minute mark, our legs just went in that game.
That's the thing, though. I think arguably we've got one of the worst schedules because we didn't have another home. If we didn't have another home 3 o'clock game until December. And the midweek games that we're playing, we're coming up against good teams. And when you're playing teams like West Brom, they've got the depth and they also don't have the schedule that we have. So it is down to fitness. And that's why players like Steph and a couple of others are lacking fitness. I mean, I don't think he's been fully fit this season. So hoping that the international breaks help. But
The cup run, it doesn't do us any favours as much as we all want to go on a cup run. And I want to stay in it and go as far as possible. But it's just adding that extra fixture on a Tuesday when you're playing Friday, we are.
Yeah, that's what we've got three games in the space of 6 days that week.
I mean, that's demanded, isn't it, on anybody?
I know, obviously, Peterborough are not performing well at the minute. But no game in this league is easy. We can't take them for granted. The Sunderland game, you think we might rest a couple of people because they're obviously a league below, but it depends on how seriously Warburton wants to take the cup.
Yeah.
Forest are the form team at the minute since they got rid of Houghton.
Yeah.
So, it's just mad to have that many games in a week.
But you've got squads, you've got to deal with it, haven't you? Like Warburton always says, like, it's tough, but, we've got three strikers there. We should be able to. Do you know what I mean? Like, there is some depth there. That's
another thing that's annoying, obviously, because we're now the early kickoff on Saturday, and Gray was playing for Jamaica, last night?
Yeah.
Whatever the time zone thing is. So he's not going to be back until today at the earliest.
We should be on the bench, really, I would have thought.
That's what I mean. It means it depends. And if Dyke had come back with a knock, he's played all the 90 minutes for Scotland. So Charlie's our only fully fit striker for Saturday.
What do we think on Bond?
Keep him there.
Leave him there.
It's the first time in quite a long time that we've actually seen him scoring goals for fun. And I don't want to stop him, bring him back, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's actually not that great. Just give him a good run. Let him stay there and his value will go up tremendously if he stays there and scores 20 goals. But for us, it's about letting our players flourish, and he's not going to flourish with us when we've got like it's a Gray Austin, etc. in front of him. So
what happens if we get to this January or end of December and he's on 15 goals at, 20? I mean, can you ignore that? And if we've got Dykes, Austin and Gray still plodding along, scoring here and there. Is it decision? I get your point, Ollie, that let's leave him because we're all about the now, aren't we? We don't want to be looking back on this and thinking we should have got Bond in.
Yeah, but he's an Ipswich fan, isn't he?
Yeah, Ipswich
supporter. So he's playing for technically the team he supports. So do you think he's putting in more effort because he's a fan? Do you know what I mean?
Did he not put effort in for us, though?
No, he had a mixed season. I know he lost his I think it was his sister, wasn't it, when he, while he was with us. So that's obviously going to massively play on his mind. But I don't know. He's one of those where I just think if we bring him back now, he's not guaranteed to start, and it will just stifle the progress he's made.
But on the flip side, you know, I always think a goal scorer scoring goals is as valuable in weighing gold. Like, it's tough to find, isn't it? But I know.
I would agree with you 100% if he was at another team in the Championship and was scoring. It's League One football. Like, do you remember Connor Washington tore League One up, mate? Like, let's not forget. Like, it is a big difference. You look at players who, like Mitrovic, bangs goals in the Championship for fun, goes up to the Premier League every year, every other year, and he can't score. It does make a difference, that step up or down.
Hmm.
Is Bond one of those players who's too good for League One, isn't quite good enough for the Championship?
I'd like to see him like Jake's got the old sort of Charlie schooling during last year. I don't, by the sound of it, Bond didn't necessarily, whether or not he wanted to take it or not, it just doesn't seem that he got that same schooling. So I'd like to see him get a bit of that from Austin, see if that makes him any better. But no, I absolutely agree with you two that I'd keep him there. If he's scoring goals, let him keep scoring goals. Even if he's scoring goals in January, Would you realistically start him over the three that we've got? I don't think so. I think keep him there.
What if one of them are injured, we get to January and it's very plausible that one of Austin or Gray could get injured for a fair amount of time.
Yeah, but it would have to be like a proper, like, almost season-ending injury, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because if it's just like he's out for a month, you're not going to bring him back just for a cover for a month, are you?
No,
I can't see it happening.
Right, lads, I've got a as it's International Week, I thought we'd do a little international quiz. All right, you might need like a little bit of pen and paper or something just to write down something, or your phone or something, or just so.
No.
Yeah. Right, so I've got five players that played for QPR.
Yeah.
What I want you to do is write down how many international appearances they made for their national side, and then we'll add up the five at the end and see who gets the closest to the actual amount.
So all of them add them together,
add them all together. Right.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I can do that. Where I've got a little calculator here. Or I can use my head. So the first one, are you ready?
Yeah.
Les Ferdinand. How many England appearances did Les Ferdinand make? No cheating, Dunk.
How can I cheat?
Don't know. It's always a way, isn't there?
There is always a way, mate. I'll mute myself and ask Alexa.
Right, we've got that down?
Yeah.
The next one is Massimo Luongo. How many Australian caps did Massimo Luongo get?
Are these including substitute appearances, yeah?
It's caps, starts. Mate, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's caps, yeah. Next one is Connor Washington for Northern Ireland as of today.
Let's go.
Next one, legend, Ray Wilkins. How many England caps did Ray Wilkins get? Surprising one, this one. And the final one, Eduardo Vargas for Chile. How many Chilean caps has he had?
He's right. One that's like gone on forever and ever, isn't he?
Right. Exactly, yeah. Interesting. Right, so Les Ferdinand. Dunk, how many caps do you think Les has had?
He didn't get many, did he? We had a lot of good strikers. I've already gone for nine. I don't think he got that many.
Nine. Alex, what about you, mate?
I went two.
Two. Ollie?
12.
12. Les Ferdinand had 17 caps.
Yeah.
A bit more than you thought. I'd imagine a lot of them are subs. You know what I mean? Like caps. Massimo Luongo, Dunk.
I put down 43.
Okay. Alex?
I think I've gone too low here. 19.
And Ollie?
I put 17.
It's 43.
Wow. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do I get an extra point for getting a bang on?
No. Well done, mate. So, yes. Connor Washington, what have you got, Doug?
26.
Alex?
21.
Ollie?
24.
Ooh. It's 33.
Is it?
Yeah, all fairly close.
Poor Northern Ireland.
Yeah. What about Ray Wilkins?
I've gone 34. I didn't think he got as many as we all think he would have, should have.
Alex?
31.
Ollie?
48.
The answer is 84.
Oh my God.
I know, I couldn't believe it. Ollie, what did you say?
48.
Yeah, Eduardo Vargas, what are we saying? Doug?
I've gone 55.
Alex?
I've gone 70 on this one.
Oh, I must be way off then. I've gone 32.
Ollie, I think you've lost, mate.
Yeah, I reckon I'm as well.
It's 102.
Jesus. No way.
He's been around for ages.
Yeah, I can't believe you didn't get that. You didn't go further.
It's one of those, because the thing is, in Copa America, they play like 20 games, don't they, each tournament? So, yeah, should have gone that with that one.
Right, so the total amount of caps was 279.
Oh, God.
I mean, so, Doug, you got 167. Alex, you got 143. And Ollie, you got 133.
Jesus. It's a victory, and I'm taking it.
Yeah, well done, Doug. There you go, a bit of fun. Do we think McCallum and Wallace will be back?
Yeah, I think Wallace will be. McCallum, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
He's pitching. They hoped that Wallace, McCallum and Field will be back around this international break, didn't they? So as long as they've had, I suppose, an okay couple of training sessions in the national break, hopefully there. We need one of those left-backs back.
Mm.
I know, I'm sort of in the middle. I kind of think, don't know why, I just feel like this formation that we're currently, or we have been deploying, is really benefited, yeah. Don't know, it's just an observation. He seems to have got a much more of a freer role, because Willock's been far out on the left, and he's got less of a freer role, and that's meant that he can just make those darting runs everywhere, because Willock's not making them.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think it does make a difference. And I think it's so difficult because we need to get our defensive shape right. But at the same time, if we do that, we do lose giving Chair that freedom. And like you said, that's where he seems to have come into his own than the last, three or four games for us. So it's really difficult trying to find the balance right. Do you think it would have made a difference of obviously Warburton having COVID and not being there most of this week? Do you think that's going to ruin our preparation during this international break?
I suppose we'll find out. I mean, it's a difficult one because I think Warburton brings out the best in a lot of our players, and I wonder whether us having a lack of him during the international break, I'm not too sure it will impact us massively because as coaches, etc., but we'll see. I'm not sure at the moment, to be honest.
Is he there on Saturday?
Is he back? I'm sure he's back tomorrow.
Apparently he's back in the dugout, isn't he? He's over it. I think his isolation period should be done in time for Saturday, from what the reports I've seen.
I mean, nowadays you'd like to think that there's enough technology that even if he's not there, that he would have been in training sessions through Zoom, talking to players, talking about tactics, and Eustace and the other coaches would have just been implementing what he wanted to do. So I don't think it's going to be too difficult. And also, I mean, you've got the likes, there's a few of them that have been on international break anyway, so there's a few of them that haven't had a full week's training, so...
I said to my missus, "Oh, Warburton's got COVID," and she said, "What, the whole factory?" Just wanted to share that with you. I'm happy with John Eustace anyway. I feel like he can do a job. I'm not overly concerned. I don't think that the game, the outcome of the game will be any different if he isn't there or if he is there. But obviously you'd rather have him there. But I think we need Simon Callum back, don't we? Because we need that balance on, you know, defensively away at Fulham. You know, it's important that because we haven't really had, I don't know if you remember the West Brom game down that left-hand side. We had absolutely nothing, did we?
No.
And that's away from home. At home, it's slightly different because you can sort of push forward and take a bit more risk.
Yeah.
But
I think obviously, because Barbie, for me, can sometimes be a bit isolated if he gets pushed too far out onto that left-hand side. Because he's not a natural left-back, so... You can see that in the start of his play, he doesn't want to. He always tries to send his man inside. He doesn't want to get taken on the outside because he knows he's got no, like, he's uncomfortable there.
That's probably hasn't got the pace to deal with Fulham as well. That's something that Fulham has.
I feel like Jimmy Dunn versus Mitrovic is like good. Like, it's a good tussle, isn't it? Like, I feel like that would be.
Or Jordi, if Jordi's back. He's not going to take any nonsense, is he? That'd be a good battle.
I feel like Jimmy Dunn, though, would just be a bit more like physical and a bit more take nothing, like, and just literally like everything in the air, you just smash it out. And he's a bit better on the deck as well, isn't he?
Yeah. It's difficult, isn't it? Because before the international break, Fulham weren't on great form themselves. So have they had a chance to reorganise and regroup, and will it be a bit more of a difficult game for us than it already was going to be?
I feel like actually Fulham are going to not play to our weaknesses, because with a striker like Mitrovic, I can't remember what the stat was, but when it comes to their crossing and set pieces, etc., loads of their goals have come from them. And as much as I rate Mitrovic massively, but in the formation that we play at the back, I don't think the Fulham have that front man that's going to really test our back line. You know, with Bournemouth, that left winger, I can't remember what his name was.
Anthony.
He caused us so many problems. And he had likes of Solanke that's a runner as well. I don't think that Mitrovic is that much of a match for our defenders, because I think Device and Dunn will deal with him just as well as they would anyone else, to be honest. I don't think he's too much of a threat at the moment because of the way that they play and the way we play. Big shout, but we'll see, won't we?
It's pace, isn't it? I always worry about us with pace. Any kind of pace. Do you remember Middlesbrough? I don't even remember that little lad on the wing. He absolutely killed us. I just feel like with a bit of pace, we struggle.
Is it Ivan... who's that young kiddie they've got? Is it Carvalho? He's back. Apparently, he's back for them as well, from what I heard. So, they've missed him recently. So that could be a bit of a danger man for them.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 18, though. I'd just be like Dickie, just get rough him up a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it used to be, isn't it? Like, put one in them the first couple of minutes, but players aren't like that anymore. There's too much respect in the game.
I just want to quickly touch on the rail seating. I don't know if you all saw it. I don't know, Alex, what's your view on that?
I think it's a really good idea. I didn't get involved in that. When I was up there, I couldn't see where the old voting was. But I'm pleased everyone else did, and I'm pleased there was such a good turnout and it was favourable. And I also think, reading the results, that the lower loft, I think, is probably the perfect place to put it as well. So, yeah, let's get it in and let's see what it looks like. But yeah, I'm all up for it.
Yeah.
Take loft back in those days where we're watching sort of 70s and 80s clips, and you can see like stand and stuff like that. It'd be great to bring back. I saw that they were trying to bring back alcohol as well. I don't know if anyone's seen that.
There was something, I think the sports minister's trying to like get rid of that idea. I think someone's trying to challenge it now. It's a difficult one, isn't it? They're having the actual alcohol in the stadium, like, in that respect, because we all know there's some people who just take it too far on a game day. And
I don't want alcohol all over me when we score. Like, I don't mind it. In the fan zones,
yeah. It's a bit different, isn't it, when you're in the fan parks like, in like England score.
But not like, a cold January afternoon.
No, exactly.
And you've got another 2-hour journey home or something, and you're covered it up. And when you're doing it, you know, in the pub, you live half 10 minutes away, you can, you know, and you don't really care when you're that drunk, do you? But, you know, so I'm not really up for that. But I just saw that the other day and thought that was interesting. But yeah, I agree with Alex. I think the rail seating in the loft, I think, get it done, isn't it? It's ideal, I think.
Would you use it? Would you use the standing facility?
Because it's both, isn't it? But you'd obviously stand, wouldn't you? Like, I mean, you'd have to move the family. That's the only challenge around it, is where do you move the family stand, family part of the ground to?
Is the
where
the,
would you put it?
The R block. Stick it where the paddock is. That's fine.
We never sell out there, do we, massively? Our loft, lower loft is always the one. There's always spaces. So I don't know.
You see that game the other week where it was pouring down with rain and everyone in the paddocks were like trying to hug themselves to the wall because they were getting absolutely drenched.
It's not very family friendly to put them in the only place that gets wet.
No, I sit in a paddock and it's horrible. It's horrible. But the rail seatings, I mean, it's similar. The Lamex, Stevenage ground, when I used to go there and you just stand up on the big. There's loads of rails. Honestly, I loved it. The atmosphere, it just adds to it so much. And you know, I'll sit in R block or X block now, but when I sit down, when I used to sit down in the paddock, you know, I'd want to go and jump and celebrate. And there'd be like a family, like six in front of me. I'd be like, excuse me. And by the time I got down, I'm
done now, mate. Look, you knocking them out the way. Like, get down.
Could you not put the family stand maybe at the upper loft and then all the kiddies would aspire to be wanting to be in the lower loft when they get older? I think maybe that's an idea to look at.
Possibly. I don't know whether you can fill the whole. I saw an idea that you just split it into sort of like a third or half of the lower loft, half stand. I don't know. Because you can't really put them in South Africa Road. Can you put them in Elsie Road? I don't know. It's
just in X block?
Exactly, yeah. Well, the R block.
Baptism of fire there for them.
They'll learn quickly. All right, has anyone got an AOB, anything they want to bring up that we've not spoken about?
One question I wanted to ask you guys quickly. Just, I know we've got a bunch of Sky Sports games coming up shortly. I wanted to ask a question, just because it popped into my mind. Given the fact that we've been on telly so much during COVID, does the hoodoo still exist?
It does for me. I always look at Sky and go, we're on Sky. It's like just, but I don't know what the stats say. Maybe that's one for us to look at, recent stats of us being on telly. Because we are, have you seen, we're on telly like six of the next nine games or something stupid like that. It's so something's got to give, hasn't it? Either we're going to lose, it's going to still be there or...
I quite like being on Sky because I rave on about players like the Chair and Willock, and none of my friends believe me. They watch Sky and like, she's all right, mate, to be fair.
Yeah, but that works if we perform well, which we don't do a lot on Sky.
It's a good question, Alex.
I like it because I can record it and I can go back and watch it again. Because obviously, when you're at the ground, you miss bits. I always feel like when I rewatch it on telly, you see stuff from different angles, so you can always like see things back differently. I like that element of it, but that's the hoodoo gone? I don't know. I'll let you know after these couple of games.
Yeah, I think it exists though, Alex. Honestly, I think that it's like a weird.
Yeah, but you're Mr. Pessimist.
Cloud, right? A weird cloud that. But I just think whenever I think we're on Sky, I go, we're on telly, great, and then half of me thinks, oh God, we're on Sky. Don't know. What do you think, Alex?
I like to think personally inside me it's gone now, because I think it used to be when we were younger, it was like we were hardly ever on telly, right? And when it was like such a big thing. Yes, we're on telly and we can watch. And I think because it was such a big event, and then the results probably, well, more of them went against us than went for us. I think that's when the hoodoos come in. Whereas I think now, I guess we're kind of so used to it. Oh, on the red button, on wherever, on your laptop, whatever. I think nowadays it feels, personally, it feels like, well, we see them all the time anyway. So I don't get the same feeling, but I know obviously there is the whole beauty. So I just wondered what others felt, if maybe. Yeah.
We'll get Dunk on it. The next episode, let me know the last 20 Sky games, what we're at. What's the stats?
Okay, yes. I love that.
Ollie, what did you have something that you wanted to bring
up? The comments that, well, the comment that Neil Warnock made on TalkSport the other morning. Anyway, I didn't hear. He said he was talking about the Newcastle situation, the big takeover, and futurist Steve Bruce. He said on there that a similar situation to Newcastle happened to me at QPR. Tony was told bringing in Mark Hughes was the way to go. I spoke to him a few years ago and he said to me that the mistake cost him 200 million quid. So it's nice to hear some, almost him admitting his mistakes, to be fair. Because
Ollie, let me tell you something about,
I feel like it's talked about at all now.
About that time, right? This is, me and Dunk have had this debate before. And obviously I love Neil Warnock and he did great for us. But at that time, we were all like, I think it was like an 8 or a 9 winless Premier League. We were on like a downward trajectory big time because we were doing quite well up until then. And we went away to MK Dons and we lost and we got thrashed. There was like 8, 9, 10,000 Ars fans there. And they were going mad. Like I've never, like they were just, they wanted Warnock out. They were like, he had lost quite a bit. It's people forget that. But anyone who's listening who was in that crowd will know exactly what I mean. They were literally wanted the amount they were calling for him to be out. I just think that maybe Mark Hughes just wasn't the right appointment.
Yeah, no. It reminds me of when I think that the problem is when it comes to Tony, is he kind of says things and he does things that he doesn't actually think about. It's like when he was like, oh yeah, I've got our dream manager to replace Harry Redknapp, all of us thinking, oh who's it gonna be? Is it gonna be that Paul Clement? Is it gonna be us? And he comes out of Chris Ramsey.
Something must have happened there. So he obviously had someone. Someone must have been. I'd love to know who it was.
The thing is, Warnock, we weren't in the relegation zone under Warnock.
Like, no, but expectation was higher, wasn't it?
But obviously Fernandes came in, a week before the transfer window ended? We had that mad little panic buy, but like Sean Wright Phillips in, we got Joey Barton in. Warnock didn't have the chance in January to build his team with a war chest. We'd spent nothing, had we? We got Boothroyd in on a free. So DJ Campbell in on a free.
Yeah.
Like, he was working for peanuts that season because the club knew they were going to sell. But it took so long for the deal to go through. I think if Warnock had had a January window with a budget, we would have stayed up comfortably. He would have stayed the manager for the next 5 years. He would have taken us to Europe. Boom.
I think the thing for me, don't get me wrong, I do think it was a wrong appointment, but I think if Mark Hughes as a person went about it in the right way, i.e. didn't get his agent, Keir Jorkabin or whatever his name is, to just get all of everyone on his books in for as much as possible and did it the right way, and we still kind of failed, then fair enough. But I think the guy just didn't care, and he was such a big catalyst for why we've had so many bad years. Obviously, Tony was to blame, and look, I like Tony. Tony's he's a nice guy, and it was good when he was social back in the day. I do think it's probably been quite good the last couple of years, though, that he's actually been quite quiet, and he's been reserved and away from it all. I think that's probably helped a lot of things, but maybe if Hughes had gone about it in a different way and, yeah, it might have been different, but
I think having Amit back as well helped
massively.
He just oozes class, doesn't he? And just chilled vibes that just make you feel like the club's in good hands.
Yeah.
Amit could literally sell me anything. Like if he said something, I'd be like, yeah, completely agree with you. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He just gives you that confidence, like you don't feel like he's gonna like make a bad decision for the club. You feel like he's got the club's best interest in heart the whole time.
Yeah.
If I remember watching that 4-year plan, and I think it was like into the second or third season, he's at Gianni this year, we don't shout at the players. He was always quite calm and chilled out.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Abbott. All right, I'm conscious of time, but let's just do, what do we reckon? How many points? Two games. We've got Blackburn as well on is it Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday, is it?
It's Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah. How many points do you reckon, Ollie? How many points? Six.
Yeah, I'm confident. I'm confident.
I felt confident going with
my heart says four, my head says three.
Doug?
Yeah, I was going to say I felt confident saying 4 points. So six is optimistic, Ollie. I like it. But yeah, I reckon a draw and a win is quite achievable out of these two games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben, what do you think, mate? Mr. Pessimistic, were you going 1 point?
I fancy Fulham on Saturday. I don't know why I fancy us to do something. I think I just got a little feeling that we'll get the win at Fulham and we'll draw to Blackburn. I don't know why.
I'm still scarred from that Fulham away. I went there and it was like 6-0 and it
was
AJ and Zamora and they were just But we all stayed till the end and we were all
an atmosphere there. it was that day. Because we were there as well that day, weren't we? Ben? And the atmosphere was rocking. It was one of the best away day atmospheres that I've been at. But yeah, the performance was absolutely diabolical. And then we went to the was it the 3-2 game as well, wasn't it? Samba. Yeah.
Oh, what were you about that one?
That one, Samba. That was a shocking day.
There was 2 3-2s, weren't there? There was the Samba one. And there was another one as well, wasn't there? With Trapped, and he scored 2 boomers. Really, and he got subbed off and sulked. we've had some batterings there, haven't we? As well.
Yeah, it's been horrible, hasn't it?
Yeah. All right, lads. Well, we'll leave it there then. Cheers for all coming on.
Just starting to believe a little bit. Well, Hoylett's got the better of Buxton. Puts it into an area. Keogh, Zamora. Unbelievable! From the very brink of elimination, Bobby Zamora has surely scored another playoff winner.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.